They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. Welcome, welcome to this Thursday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Great to have you along. You know, we've got this, a map of the United States here in the studio. The wall isn't wide enough to display it horizontally like it's supposed to be, so it's vertical. And you know, the push pins, there are more and more push pins in there every day, based on the folks we're hearing from, and that's inspiring. It's so good just to get a chance to talk with you all and share your thoughts, find out how America is thinking, because we are, in fact, the part of America that does that thinking thing, aren't we? Yes, we are. Now, let me back up a little bit. In a conversation with our friend Peter from Tallahassee last night, I made mention of a story that I really hadn't given the attention it deserved. And that is this issue of body armor. Let's go back over this, if you don't mind. Yes, yes, I know. Osama sent us one of his tapes from one of the Grateful Dead shows he attended way back when he was still doing acid. I know he did. You know, he's selling little cheese sandwiches on pita bread out in the parking lot and playing hacky sack. I'm sorry, I'm jaded. I have been made, don't blame me, I have been made jaded. Let's see, we're getting ready to start the hearings on Bush's illegal spying. And according to our friends at Raw Story, a document will be released this evening, if it hasn't already, by the Justice Department declaring that George Bush may spy on whomever the hell he wants to, and for the rest of us to shut the hell up. So, naturally, what did we get today? That's right. We got a tape from Osama. But these are some artless SOBs, aren't they? You know, well, CIA experts say they can't be sure it's Osama. Sure it's Osama. He recorded it on the little microphone system down in the basement at Crawford where he's shooting 8-ball with Saddam. You know that. I'm playing. But to go back to this body armor business. And I get so wrapped up with talking with you guys and being interested in what you have to say that sometimes I let news stories slide by, and that's my fault, and I apologize. But it was a couple of weeks ago that the New York Times said that the Marine Corps said that in their own study of fatalities from Iraq, that 80% of the Marines who had been killed could have been saved with adequate body armor. If only George Bush would have supported the troops. Okay? Now, that body armor system, is that the government has the contract for, has like ceramic plates in it, that kind, and it exposes critical parts of human anatomy to gunfire, blasts, that kind of thing. And even with that, we don't give it to the soldiers who need it. We don't have an adequate supply of it. So apparently, there is something out there called dragon skin, and it is apparently the be-all and end-all of body armor. All the Blackwater guys wear dragon skin. You know, the mercenaries, the Hessians. 50,000 strong over there. No control by the United States government whatsoever. A law unto themselves. Yeah, that Blackwater. So, soldiers' families, knowing that the United States government will not provide adequately for our troops, have begun purchasing body armor for their loved ones who are heading over to the sandy little meat grinder that is Iraq. A full set of dragon skin body armor runs about $6,000. And soldiers, this is the upshot of it, soldiers are being told that if they are literally caught dead in dragon skin body armor, that they may void their life insurance death benefit of some $400,000. Yeah, really. No kidding. And, of course, I mentioned all this in our conversation last night with Peter. I also mentioned that 9 generals in Afghanistan are wearing free dragon skin body armor on spec, and no one has said to them that if they are killed, and of course the generals won't be killed because they won't get near enough into any danger. That's not the nature of the American officer corps. Nobody's told them that if they're killed, they won't get their death benefit. And what's more, if you're wondering why on earth, if this stuff is so much better, why on earth would we be using the other stuff? Well, it's manufactured by a company called Armor Holdings. Armor Holdings. And Armor Holdings stock, about $88 million of it is held by Freis Associates, LLC. Connect the dots. Freis Associates, LLC, is headed by one Foster Freis. He has contributed more than $575,000 to Republicans in the previous 3 campaign cycles. He's good for $51,000 so far in 2006. So, do you understand now? Our soldiers, if they get body armor at all, have to wear the inferior body armor that is manufactured by a company held by a Bush crony. Might as well start the weeping now. It ain't going to get any better for the rest of the night. I'm sorry. Nah, it'll get better. But I wanted to make sure that we fleshed that out just a little bit so that we could have an understanding of just how far, how low, how deep, how slimy, how disgusting the profiteering of the Bush family goes. And now you know. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, with regard to the Alito nomination, I want to talk a little bit, if you don't mind, unless you've got something else on your mind, in which case we'll do something different. I want to talk a little bit about maybe an approach for getting Senator Byrd to stand up maybe one last time and be the leader that we all need him to be in the United States Senate. Is that okay? Thanks. This is Head On.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe 3 times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
So, one of these nights, and about 12 o'clock, it's over, the Gondardy Land rocks. Saints, they all tremble and cry for pain, for the Lord's going to come in his heaven airplane.
All right, 19 minutes after the hour. I'm Bob, this is Head On. The phone number, of course, you know already, probably. 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. Call the name, call the number, whatever. Let's do go to the phones before we talk a little bit about Senator Byrd and encouraging him to reach for his destiny. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're Head On.
Good evening, Bob. How are you?
Good, thanks.
My greetings to all those people out there in the dark who worship the quicksand I walk on. You know, on Don Imus this morning, he has been trying to raise money for a hospital in Texas that basically cares for amputees and people who have really been traumatized physically by their war injuries. And the amount is $10 million. And, you know, I think they asked Halliburton, and Halliburton wouldn't contribute.
Not surprising. I don't know if you heard the story last night or not, Jim, but a couple of days ago, another veteran home from Iraq blew his brains out. And among other things, it was reminiscent. He had had the devil's own time trying to get treatment for his PTSD.
Oh, God.
And it's worth noting that the Bush administration is shutting down, you mentioned Texas, is shutting down the VA hospital in Waco, which is the only hospital in that entire area where veterans with PTSD can get treatment.
Well, you know, listen, and as a second point, and I'll try to be brief here because I know you want to get into your show. I want to point out the difference between the Bush family and another family in history that fought in another war, if I may, okay?
Do please.
And this family has been, in many ways, maligned by history because they were at the losing end of the war. And I'm talking about the Romanovs, the ones who ruled Russia before the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And most people have pictured them as being idle and complacent people who didn't care about anything except themselves. Well, I have something here that might shed a different light upon the Empress of Russia, okay?
Go ahead. Yeah.
The mother of a little boy who had hemophilia.
Right. What was her name? Alexandra?
Alexandra Fedorovna. And she was the mother of four girls and one boy. And basically, her son's hemophilia really almost killed her because it was a mother's agony. But nonetheless, after the war started, she, with her own money, started 85 hospitals in and around St. Petersburg, and a lot of them were on the grounds of where the imperial family lived at Tsarskoye Selo. And they lived in the Alexander Palace, a smaller palace there. If you've ever been there, it's just a fanciful place, and it must have been something in its heyday. But just to read this, life inside the Alexander Palace was transformed. The empress, who had stayed in bed nursing her ills until noon, now was up for a mass at 7. Promptly at 9, dressed in a gray uniform of a nursing sister, she arrived at the hospital along with her two eldest daughters, Olga and Tatiana, and Anna Varupova, her friend, for her nursing course. The hospital atmosphere was brutal and pathetic. Every day, the Red Cross trains brought back long lines of wounded and dying men from the front. Most had only first aid of the trenches and frontline dressings. They arrived dirty, blood-stained, feverish, and groaning. And under the direction of a trained nurse, the students washed and bandaged the ripped flesh and mangled bodies. I have seen the Empress of Russia in the operating room, wrote Anna Varupova, holding ether cones, handling sterilized instruments, assisting in the most difficult operations, taking from the hands of busy surgeons amputated legs and arms, removing even the vermin-ridden field dressings, and enduring all the sights and smells and agonies of the most dreadful of all places, a military hospital in the midst of a war. Nevertheless, wrote Anna, I have never seen her happier than on the day at the end of the 2 months' training, she marched at the head of the procession of nurses to receive the Red Cross diploma of a certified war nurse. Now, do you think Laura Bush or her daughters would even dirty their hands at a military hospital with our troops today?
Not on a million-dollar bet, Jim. And it's interesting. That provides excellent counterpoint for something I've got right here in my lap.
Now, this lady.
Wait, just a moment. You talk about the Bush family. Here's the Bush family. You know, they're Laura and the girls are in Africa right now.
All right.
Okay. This is from a news story. Quote, speaking to reporters at the start of a 4-day trip to Liberia, which incidentally Laura referred to in a CNN interview as Liberia. You know, she is a Liberian after all.
I'm told.
Yeah. At the start of a 4-day trip to Liberia, Ghana, and Nigeria, Laura Bush said, quote, and, you know, everybody, just sit down, you know. I'm always a little bit irritated when I hear the criticism of abstinence, because abstinence is absolutely 100% effective in eradicating a sexually transmitted disease. She added, in many countries where girls feel obligated to comply with the wishes of men, girls need to know that abstinence is a choice. Now, contrast that with Alexandra, Empress of Russia, that you just described. And the difference is, you see, the Bushes are nouveau riche. They're tacky and just nasty. Whereas, you know, at least the Romanovs, for all of their many, many faults, did have...
they had compassion for their people.
And yes, and they had that old world sense of noblesse oblige.
And she was the granddaughter of Queen Victoria and was probably in her veins flowed the bluest blood in Europe. And she was the Tsar the Tsar's wife and the Empress of all the Russias, the highest place in one of the largest countries of the world. And yet she did not mind and was happier when she was absorbed in the problems of other people.
Yeah.
And she, of course, had, you know, the problems with her own little boy who was always sick. And, you know, she was basically the mother of the Russian people as she pictured herself. Now, I know the Romanovs did not meet a very pleasant end, and they were murdered in that cellar in Ekaterinburg. And thankfully, and I think rightly so, they have been canonized by the Orthodox Church, and I'm glad that that happened. But, you know, even after she was in the operating room every day, she would go to the hospitals. There were 85 that she set up. And she would hold these men's hands, and, you know, they would ask her to hold their hands and if they faced an amputation or a serious operation. And, you know, basically, you know, say to her, "Little mother, hold my hand so that I may have courage for what is about to happen." And this she continued to do throughout the war. Now, she, of course, had her faults, and she was misled by Rasputin because he was the only thing that could save her little boy.
Right.
And ask your wife, what could stand between, you know...
Yeah, I do know.
...a man's ability to heal or at least to assuage an illness about which they knew nothing. And he was her only hope. And I really can't fault her. I really cannot.
Well, but you, like I said, you raise a nice juxtaposition between what would be termed compassion and decency, and on the other end of the spectrum, Bushes.
Right.
You know, they are a hateful little tribe, and they have been, for over a century now.
Absolutely. I mean,
they haven't, honest to Pete, Jim, that family has not earned an honest day's living in 100 blessed years. Can you imagine that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Certainly can. And, you know, they basically consider themselves to be the aristocracy of America. They have no idea what real aristocracy is. There's an aristocracy of merit, and there's an aristocracy of breeding, which neither of these people, in my opinion, have. They're just very nouveau riche and very tacky people, and that's all.
Well, you know, you mentioned tacky. I'm reminded of how incensed Barbara Bush, that hateful old bat, she was incensed when she found out that one of their gifts to the Reagans had not been received favorably. It was like a ceramic cowboy boot umbrella stand or something, and she was horrified to find that that the Reagans had stashed it in a bathroom somewhere. They thought that was just the neatest ceramic cowboy boot they'd ever seen. I mean, this is a family that buys the bullfighter paintings and the dogs playing poker and Elvis on velvet. You know, I mean, this is them.
Now, who gave her this gift?
The Bushes gave it to the Reagans.
Oh, the Reagan. Nancy didn't like it.
And Nancy was simply horrified.
Well, I mean, you know, Nancy was the kind, I mean, basically, whenever she had gifts that she didn't want, she put them in a closet. And then when Christmas was on, she would pull one out, and she would put the person's name on it. And it was just amazing what she would do. Like, when she would stay in a hotel that had, for them, and put a Waterford crystal bowl that cost about $200. She just grabbed it right off the table and took it to her daughter for a wedding present.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's, you know, Nancy, I mean, you know, read Kitty Kelly's book.
Oh, I know.
But
you know, what a bunch.
You know, read this about Empress Alexander. Let them read Nicholas and Alexander by Robert K. Massey. And it would be under the chapter of a fatal deception.
All right, great, Jim. Appreciate it. Have yourself a good night, all right?
Likewise.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, time for a break. When we come back, yeah, I'm sorry. That was a valuable cough switch. That was a valuable digression. It's good to compare and contrast once in a while and see what class looks like. Can you imagine, you know, Eleanor Roosevelt, because her husband was limited by his polio affliction, Eleanor Roosevelt traveled the world in FDR's name, and she worked and she struggled to make a real difference. On the other hand, you got Laura Bush saying that abstinence is a choice. You know, in countries where a woman who says no to a man will have her brains bludgeoned out.
abstinence is a choice.
Well, I guess you're... Yeah, and abstinence in the extreme is death, right, Laura? Is that what you're telling the librarians? Oh, my God. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
If you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll supposedly say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, do they, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Last week's Fourth Estate Radio, Bruce had this to say.
Latham is a member of the Southern Baptist Convention's Executive Committee. Okay. He was arrested and charged with offering to engage in an act of lewdness.
What?
Based on that one charge, I'm thinking he didn't offer to hire a prostitute. It sounded like to me that he was just like coming on to the guy.
Well,
maybe saying to him that he would give him a free something or another.
Well, I want to know if George Michael was in there for the meeting.
Join us 10 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday night for Fourth Estate Radio. Get the details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We looked down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept a coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it.
You know, when we contemplate the business with George and his secret squirrel spy network listening in on all of us, you, me, Aunt Mabel talking about bringing the special peanut brittle to the Sunday dinner on the grounds. And you remember, that's the one that gets Agent Fred all up in arms, the special peanut brittle. It's worth remembering the words of Al Gore from Monday. And how true they are. How dare this man suggest that, how dare Bush suggest that we are under greater threat now than we have ever been before? It was September of, what, 1812, 13, 14, when the British marched in and burnt the damned White House. And the entire government had to flee. And we're under a greater threat now. I don't think so. I don't think so. Not in the least. But just in case you're prone to being terrified, well, you know, that terror alert is, I don't know, they're talking about raising it from yellow to puce or something. And backing up another little bit of reportage regarding Barbie Bush, Laura's daughter there with her in Liberia. This, First Lady Laura Bush and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice opted to wear jackets, skirts, hats, and sensible shoes. Accompanying them was Barbara, who wore something very different, a skin-tight seafoam green number with open-toe snakeskin high heels. Oh, God. Oh, God. No wonder they hate us. No wonder they hate us. Now this excerpt from the memo that is coming out, maybe has come out by now, from the Justice Department about Dear Leader's secret squirrel network. Quote, "The NSA activities are supported by the President's well-recognized inherent constitutional authority as Commander-in-Chief and sole organ." They said organ. Organ for the nation in foreign affairs to conduct warrantless surveillance of enemy forces for intelligence purposes to detect and disrupt armed attacks on the United States. The Justice Department lawyers write. They add, "The President has the chief responsibility under the Constitution to protect America from attack, and the Constitution gives the President the authority necessary to fulfill that solemn responsibility." Now, do you buy that load of bug spray? Now, they're talking there about intercepting foreign communications. That's what FISA's about. Remember, 72 hours you've got to go and get the warrant after you start the spying. But they can't. And you know, what it boils down to, these people are too incompetent, too damned lazy to go and get the warrant. You understand? It's laziness. It has nothing to do with necessity. It has nothing to do with protecting the American people. No. It has to do everything with the laziness and the abject, criminally negligent incompetence of this crowd. You know, this is the dog ate it defense to why didn't you get a warrant?
Well, the President has inherent authority because the Constitution definitely says that he's Commander in Chief and can do whatever the hell he wants to. It's right there. That whatever the hell he wants to part, that was written on the original document in lemon juice invisible ink. You have to use a special light bulb to see it, but we've got the bulb. You know what I mean?
Rawstory.com has the headline, "Justice Department to declare warrantless wiretaps legal." Go and have a look. And let's just hit a few here. From the Brownie, "You're doing a heck of a job cronyism department." "President George W. Bush plans to nominate David L. Norquist to be chief financial officer of the Homeland Security Department," the White House said on the 18th, yesterday. David Norquist? You hear this? That's me scratching my little head. Where Norquist. Jesus, not Grover's brother. Yeah, Grover's brother. Grover Norquist. The guy who wants to drown the American Republic in the bathtub. His brother is going to be chief financial officer of the Homeland Security Department. And, of course, it might be worth remembering now that Americans for Tax Justice, Americans for Tax Reform, something like that, that's Grover Norquist's little organization. That's the people that the check was written to that got the Cushita tribe a lunch date with Dear Leader to the tune of $25,000. You can see the check in all its glory right there at TexasObserver.org. Go have a look. But Well, I tell you what, we've got a new. I want you to hear something, because we have a. We've got a new theme song. Henceforward, whenever we have Jack Abramoff filthy Republican news, you're going to hear this.
The best things in life are dirty, and nothing in life is
better to old than daddy gold.
The best things in life are filthy, dirty hunks of gold, gold, gold.
There's more than just gold. Gold is enough. That's buried below. Beautiful gold. There's seed in the ground. Lovable gold. Just waiting to grow. Spendable gold. A man has his creed.
Here's the line.
And mine is all greed.
Blessings in my blood.
Clean without a bean.
The best things in life are filthy, dirty hunks of gold, gold, gold.
So that's what you're going to get whenever we need to talk about filthy Jack Abramoff. The Homeland Security Department's current chief financial officer, Andy Mayner, announced on the 17th that he would resign effective March 3rd. David L. Norquist now works as deputy undersecretary. Oh, well, he's already in the government. These people are like tapeworms. Already works as deputy undersecretary of defense for budget and appropriations affairs. Oh, well, bless my little hide. Remember we were talking about the body armor before? And how the government needed to provide the body armor for the soldiers were sending to a... Look, here's the guy, the chief, deputy undersecretary of defense for budget and appropriations affairs. Now, do you wonder why they don't have the body armor they need? Because the baby brother of the dude who wants to drown the government in the bathtub is in charge of writing checks for stuff like body armor. Do you ever just feel that there are moments where you just want to slap yourself in the side of the head and you can't believe... Where the hell does it end? What? Mother of God! I'd forgotten about this story. It's like 2 days down in the stack. Norquist holds a bachelor's and master's degree from the University of Michigan. Well, we can pull those buildings down if they're giving that sucker a degree, as well as a second master's degree from Georgetown. Yeah, there goes Georgetown. Mayner led the DHS's project to weave together a welter of financial systems to develop means of accessing unified accounting information. That project is not yet complete, nor will it ever be. The Department of Homeland Security... Department of Homeland Security announced earlier an enterprise resource planning system project, known as Emerge 2, that would complete the consolidation project, but that work is now being realigned. So, Grover Norquist's brother is going to be in charge of that realignment. Now, there is a new Osama tape out today, and it's got some interesting stuff in it. I would submit to you that a new Osama tape is no reason for fear. No reason for terror, no reason for misgiving. But then again, we're Democrats, we're liberals, we're progressives, we're patriots, and we don't live in fear. We understand that fear, what's the line from the novel Dune? Fear is the mind killer. But there are others who want us to live in fear. But if you're going to be, if you're going to have the fear, don't worry, Osama... If the United States government isn't interested enough to actually catch him and kill him, then that tells you how much we have to be afraid of from him. Right? Right. So, never mind Osama. You want to be terrified? You be terrified of David L. Norquist. this guy is probably so filthied up with Jack Abramoff's money that you can't even begin to contemplate it. They holler about tax reform and tax justice and light cigars with $100 bills. That's what we're dealing with here. I tell you what, while we're talking in the matter of the sleaze merchants, a note from our friend Sue on Big Coal River. She notes an editorial in the Charleston Gazette, our state newspaper, that says, "Incredible," and this is a quote, "incredibly, since President Bush took office, get this, the number of special interest lobbyists registered in Washington has soared from 9,500 to 34,000. 34,000 lobbyists. 24,000 more than were in Washington before George brought the idea of crony capitalism to our nation's capital. I don't know about you, but I find that incredibly disturbing. And, you know, our party, the Democratic Party, is talking about reform. And I think we need real reform. Let's start with real penal reform. How about, like I suggested last night, 25 years at hard labor for any member of Congress caught taking any money, any trip, any bottle of booze, any emery board, any bag of sunflower seeds from a lobbyist? How about that for starters? I kind of like that, don't you? Could you live with that? We'll be back after the break and go to the phones. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
welcome back. A little less than 10 minutes before the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On. It's Thursday night. Trying to stay equanimical. So that being the case, a couple of other factoids for you from our friend Sue on Big Coal River. She says, according to a Molly Ivins column, some politicians will be taking a train ride this weekend that lobbyists will pay $2,000 apiece to ride. This will give them 7 hours to talk to politicians, Representative Roy Blunt, Representative Joe Barton, etc. According to Barton's campaign manager, it's just a fundraiser and everybody does it. Everybody does it. Sue says, I think this is mostly a stinking, rotten Republican thing with all that's going on with Abramoff. You'd think they'd learn, but no, they're so brazen they just keep at it. Well, it's because nobody will stop them, Sue. It's because nobody will stop them. You know, we write letters, we do what we can, but until such time as they start getting hauled into the dock and start getting serious prison sentences that don't include places like Maxwell Air Force Base or Ashland or any of the other so-called country club prisons. Until dirty congressmen are seen in the prison yard at Leavenworth with sledgehammers in their hands breaking big rocks into little rocks and little rocks into smaller rocks. We're not going to have their attention because, you see, the way that Washington works and the way the Republican Party works, they don't see us. But they don't see us as citizens. They don't see us as the boss. They see us as votes to be manipulated. That's why that's why Tom DeLay poured so many millions upon millions of dollars into the redistricting plan, not just in Texas. But, they have a nationwide plan for total Republican domination that will eliminate the Democratic Party once and for all. What did Phil Graham say a few years ago, Republican from Texas? Here in a few more years, we'll be hunting Democrats with dogs. Grover Norquist, we were talking about his brother there, David. A few years ago, Grover, in addition to saying that the federal government should be drowned in a bathtub, Grover said that the best thing to do with a Democrat is to castrate him like you would a wild horse. It settles him down some. You know, Democrats are using the policy of personal destruction, and Hillary's talking about, well, heavens to Betsy, she's talking about, God, she called the House of Representatives the plantation. She's a racist. No kidding. They mean us no good. They do not consider us their fellow citizens. It's that simple. We are not brother and sister Americans to them. We are them. They consider us the enemy. Because we, you know what? I want to be their enemy. I want to be the guy who stands up and says, the Constitution is something worth fighting for. That's the way it is on our side. Who do you fight, though? How do you fight? You can talk, you can go to marches and rallies and what have you. But while we're sitting around singing Kumbaya, they're saying things like, well, you know, the only problem with Timothy McVeigh is that he didn't park that truck in front of the New York Times building. Ann Coulter said that. You know, Trent Lott. If everybody voted for Strom Thurmond in 1948, this would be a much better nation now. They are racists, they're bigots, and they are as hateful as they come. And so, if nothing else, be on guard against them. I've come to the conclusion that Ben Nelson, for instance, in Nebraska, I hope we're still calling. If nothing else, let's let him know that we're paying attention. But I had a great email toward the end of the evening that I didn't get to from our friend Mike in Nebraska. Mike's organized labor, and you know he believes the way we believe, the way the middle class should believe. And he writes, I'm a day late again with the show. This was last night, and I'm listening with interest to your discussion of the other Republican senator in my state. I've argued, Mike says, with my wife for 5 years about supporting the Benator, Ben Nelson. She's been saying the whole time that she wouldn't vote for him because of his stance on almost every issue. I told her that at least he had a D behind his name, and occasionally he'll throw out a pro-labor vote. I called his office Monday telling his staff that this country needs his support of a blocking of the Alito nomination. I told him that even though he needs support from the other side to stay in office, he also needs us. I guess the women in our lives, Mike says, are more often than not the ones with the most wisdom. We need to flush the toilet and take the loss of a seat to get the chance to get a real Democrat. He lost my vote as well, and I say good riddance. And I've come to that point, too. I will say straight up, right here on this program for all to hear, I am a Democrat, I'm a registered Democrat, I will remain one. And I will not vote in favor of a Republican. But if I catch either one of my senators, Byrd or Rockefeller, voting for the confirmation of Samuel Alito, if I catch either one of them voting in favor of cloture, and you understand the filibuster process, cloture is what the Senate uses to limit debate. It takes 61 senators to invoke cloture. If I catch either one of my senators voting in favor of cloture or subsequently in favor of Alito, I will say right here and right now, and I'm not, look, yeah, for those of you who have listened long enough, you know I'm not one of these single-issue, knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing cretins. I'm not one of these pasty-faced, doughy, the anti-abortion freaks who would let the entire world go to hell in a handcar as long as somebody's out there voting to sew them women's legs together once they's all pregnant and stuff. I'm not that way. Or maybe I am. Maybe the single issue for me is the Constitution of the United States of America. Maybe indeed. So, I don't have to vote for a Republican in a Senate race. Senator Byrd is up for re-election this year. He wants another 6-year term. I tell you now, where I am concerned, if I catch that man voting in favor of cloture or in favor of Alito, I do not have to vote for his Republican opponent, but by God, I do not have to vote for him. And I will not. Clear enough? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I'm only happy when it rains.
My nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff
games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago,
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Gruff, McGruff, Skywheel, Noise, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating, just very devastating, and the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Lass ihn fliegen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Now, with regard to Senator Byrd, this is not a foregone conclusion. I hope you understand that. I believe the man may be moved. I believe he may be moved to actually lead a revolt in the Senate. Because if that man, if that aged, wise, old man stands up on his hind legs for the Senate of the United States, other far more junior senators may likely follow. Now, with that in mind, what are we going to do? Well, you got to understand. You know, we've talked about the excesses of Samuel Alito. We've talked about how, well, we've talked about all the nasty things he's done, about how he's being rewarded with this nomination because he has been the screw-up judge of the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. This guy has been wrong more than he's been right. Even when he's on the same court with somebody like Michael Skeletor Chertoff, who's shuffled off onto Homeland Security now. This guy is perpetually wrong. And you know, just like L. Paul Bremer, just like Tommy Franks, you know, if you can't get the Presidential Medal of Freedom for it, you can get at least a nomination to the Supreme Court, okay? So here's what I... When you call Senator Byrd's office, Senate.gov, www.senate.gov, and you can get a pull-down list of all the phone numbers, call Byrd's office, tell them, and I'm going to give you a little Latin phrase here, okay? And this goes back a long ways to Cato the Elder, who was trying to protect the Republic of Rome against Carthage. And the only thing Cato the Elder ever said was, Cartago delenda est. C-A-R-T-H-A-G-O, delenda, D-E-L-E-N-D-A, est. Cartago delenda est. That means Carthage must be destroyed. That is a phrase that I guarantee you is burned into Senator Byrd's brain because, you know, he loves his Roman history. He loves the Roman Senate. He loves the United States Senate. He loves his Latin. Cartago delenda est. Now, when you call Senator Byrd's office, say that you want Senator Byrd to oppose Alito to save the Senate. He doesn't care if some little girl got felt up in a meth raid on a bogus warrant. He does not care. Okay? He doesn't care about Alito sanctioning cops shooting fleeing black kids in the back of the head. He does not care. He loves his God. He loves his wife, Irma. He loves the state of West Virginia. And above and beyond all of those things, he loves the Senate of the United States of America. And if you make it plain to Senator Byrd that the Senate will be under attack and the entire Congress will be under attack with Alito on the bench teamed up with Fat Tony and Slappy Thomas and John Roberts, if you make that plain to him and to his office staff, we might have a chance. And so, no, you're not going to say Cartago delenda est. What you say is Alito delenda est. And it even works inside the Latin grammar. Alito delenda est. Got it? Alito delenda est. And we might just sway that man, and I might just be able to go on voting for him, which I want to do. I'd take it as a personal favor, because it would take real anguish for me to walk into a voting booth and walk away having left his name blank. But I, by God, will do it. Let's go to the phones. Bob is with us. Hey, Bob, you're head on.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello, my friend. Say, you said Alito delenda est?
Est. Yes.
Est. Yeah. Okay. What happened, Bob? Still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
We're getting lots of pops and clicks on the line, and I have no idea why, Bob.
Well, because, hey, guess what? Jim ain't the only insider that's the insider, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they know me. I was going to say something. Jim gets back in ancient history, and you get back even more ancient.
Well, so, you know, everything old is new again, Bob.
It never was old, Bob.
Right. There's a reason they don't teach it in the schools anymore.
No. It is now. I mean, stop, breathe, I mean, the one I love is that commercial they got there with that. It was a commercial. It really was. It was a whole full-length feature with this ancient Shinto master teaching the people to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
You know? First you breathe. First you stop. You blow all the ugliness out of, and then you pull back into you something else, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, ancient history is new, but it's old, and you got to realize that we cannot keep going down this path.
No, because history teaches us, Bob, where this path leads.
Right. And that's the question you have to ask yourself. I mean, every listener, every person has to ask themselves, where do I want to go? And honestly, my friend, I mean... I told Agnes, she's like my daughter now. I mean, she really is. And I have adopted the two of you. You're my son. You know, you're just a chip off the old block. And she told me that your dad was up an H. He had a couple of years on him. And that's, hey, it's not how old you are. It's if you desire it, then bring that to the forefront. If you desire freedom, then that is worth fighting for. If you desire safety, then, you know, just follow, Rush Limbaugh. He'll take you right down the path to, you know, security. But I'm asking you, what do you desire? And I hear... Oh, son, you got the strength. You got that. Jim, he takes us back into ancient history. Let's start making history. It's a funny thing. History, I heard a wise man say, history is mystery. And it's what those in power write, okay?
History is always written by the winner, Bob. No doubt about
right.
it.
Right. Okay. History is mystery. Okay. It is something you don't know nothing about, and whatever you read in the books, it's there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's written by those in power. So stop and realize that history is bunk, said Henry Ford. Okay.
Yeah, he did say that.
And that other guy, I think he was a Mexican, Generalissimo, he said, history, you know, he who is not a, I'm probably paraphrasing like you do sometimes.
That's okay.
History is, it's like, oh, he who is not a follower of history is doomed to repeat it. I think that was...
George Santayana.
Santayana, yes. You got it.
Yeah, it was a Harvard professor, and yeah. Those who do not learn history are doomed to repeat it.
Right, but see, history is mystery, and if you don't know the mystery, you don't know history. And sometimes I think Jim is doomed because he's just kind of repeating what's written. He doesn't know the whole truth of those soldiers. And, you know, he's got this, I'm sorry. I love the man. I really do. Sometimes I want to just take him out back and slap him back, you know, and say, listen, Jim, you're reading history, but you ain't really into the mystery of it, because those people were painting a pretty picture for themselves, just like these Bolsheviks do. They paint whatever they want.
Well, was it the David Halberstam article, Bob, from a year or so ago, where he was talking with the Bush administration people, and they said, "You guys can sit around and read the history. We're going to make it. You reality-based people, we're not interested in. We don't even know if there's going to be a history 10 years down the road."
You got it nailed, Bobby. You really do. Now, hammer that to him the next time he tells you about the Romanovs and all their wonder and splendor and all the beauty of their court. Okay?
But there is a definite distinction between those who exhibit, for lack of a better term, noblesse oblige, Bob, versus the nastiness of this Bush family of moneyed thugs. I can't imagine.
Yes, Bobby.
You remember when Clinton went? Bob, do you remember when Clinton went to Africa and people walked 50 miles barefoot to go see him? And that's, you know, that's not apocryphal. That really happened. They wanted to see, you know, and Clinton wasn't the best president ever, but they went to see him. And now we got the Bush ladies over there telling women to just say no to men who will kill them for saying no.
Bob, you're comparing a man to a monkey.
Well, amen. Hey. Amen. There's truth in that. I know.
No, you're trying to compare a man like Bill Clinton to a monkey, a chimpanzee, which squats and postures and pretends to be, but he's not a man. There's no man there, Bob.
No.
You are a man. I know that. I can hear it in your voice. I can hear it in your passion. But this thing, it's not a man. Now stop. Look. Take a breath. But realize that you're not talking about a man when you're talking about George Bush. He was never a man. He wasn't a man back in my day, when Mike Malloy was a man. I mean, he went the other way. I went with the system. Okay?
Yeah.
Mike Malloy, he fought against what I was doing. And I fought against communism and, this domino theory that if Vietnam fell, then the Philippines, and then, they would...
And then next thing you know, they're floating into San Francisco Bay, yeah.
The Red Menace. See, I fought against an idea, but Mike Malloy fought against the stupidity of that idea back in the 60s. And I love him for it. I love him because he saw it coming, and I was too dumb to look. I was just a farm boy, barefoot, till I was 14, I think it was, or I don't know when I first got my first pair of shoes. But I'm not going to go back to that day. I'm not going to go back in history. I'm going to tell you what's happening now.
Go forward.
We're going into a fight, okay?
Yeah.
It ain't a fight against communism. It's not a fight against capitalism. It's not a fight against the prison system or the torture system. It's a fight against ourselves. We have to stop and take that breath and find out what you really believe deep down inside your soul, inside of you. And when it comes out of you, it'll be right, because you can't, you just can't, you know, you can't divide it between Republican or Democrat. I mean, I say you can't divide it. There's no dividing line. There's right and wrong, Bob. And there's correctness and there's incorrectness. I mean, I can't put it in the other light. It's either good or bad. And what's happened to this great nation right now is bad. It's not being led by a man. It's being led by a puppet, a little thing with strings on it. They pull around and you know, the corporation.
Yeah, they'll and they are using him to their ends, and
oh,
they don't
yes.
they and frankly they probably despise him more than we do, Bob.
Oh yes, they do. They use him like hey, good God, you're. I think Jim was talking about whores and old houses and politicians.
You know? Yeah.
And Jim said, he had to leave the latter one off. Well, hey, wait a minute. Let's stop and leave all of us off and stop being old houses, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just stop being, you know, whores, and let us all stop being politicians, and let us begin to become human, okay? And
well, exactly, and within that subspecies, within that subset of human, let us take seriously the ideals that that this nation was founded on. Now, this nation is horribly, horribly flawed, but it has probably more potential than any other nation on Earth in many, many ways, Bob.
There you're in the break, okay?
Yeah.
The break between we have more potential than they, and there's no we and they, Bob.
Well, that's I know what you're getting at, but the thing is, we can't fix they until we fix we, Bob. You know what I mean?
Bob, you can't fix us.
Right. Well,
the little U.S. that everybody's talking about us. I'm talking about the United States of America. I'm talking about this nation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Can't fix us, U.S., until you realize, okay, that the U.S. is, or the U.S. or the us, is not the end all to be all. We are just a member of a family of nations. And you've got to remember, we're a nation. We're not a bunch of states kind of, you know, haphazardly running around, just kind of combing our hair or fluffing our our whatever. We are a people, and we are the melting pot of the world. Okay, that's where the Muslims, not the Muslims that the Republicans like to talk about, Muslims. We are Muslims. We are Christians. We are nationalists. We are communists. We are all kinds of people. We are people that don't believe in any kind of deity, but they believe kind of like the real Americans believed in, that all things, everything, a tree, a rock, a stream, those streams you talked about down there in West Virginia, not Virginia, but
right.
West Virginia, used to have, but some asshole by the name of, I can't remember his name, I don't want to remember, because I would like to meet him in a dark alley someday and blow the top of him off. I mean, but he's just one of the, Massey or?
Well, not Massey Energy, you're talking about Don Blankenship, sure.
I'm talking about Don
Blankenship.
Blankenship. Yeah, that man. I would like to blow him right.
I know.
The top of his crown off and kind of lay it out there so that they can turn it into the moonscape that I've seen on the pictures of your beautiful, beautiful country.
Oh, it's amazing to me, Bob. Are you familiar with Google Earth?
I have been there, and I have looked at it.
You can zoom. There are scars that are.
Hey, Bob.
You can see them from space.
Bob,
what they've done to our mountains? Yeah.
Have you looked at the moon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Same thing.
Have you ever really gotten a real one of them NASA pictures to pull it down? Okay. Moonscape. I mean, you're talking about a piece of a planet that's been pounded to hell by meteorites for billions of years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now, look at your backyard and see what Massey's done to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. it looks the same.
But,
the
and
same
by,
little
and,
difference between the moonscape. I mean,
and by 2010, to put some perspective on it, Bob, in case people don't know, by 2010, what they're doing in West Virginia, that moonscape that they're creating will cover an area the size of the state of Delaware.
Delaware's tiny. I'm thinking Texas.
Well, that's, you know, the first
that's
Delaware tomorrow of the world. But
no, that's their goal.
Yeah.
They don't give a rat's ass about
no,
human.
No, heck no. What they care about is money, and they don't understand. You know, Don Blankenship doesn't understand that they don't put U-Hauls behind hearses. It's very simple.
Let me explain something to you. When you and Agnes bring them beautiful babies to my house up here in Dakota, on your way to a free country called Canada, okay?
Yeah.
Because they're gonna try to drive you out. When you bring them here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Know that you have a safe house. Like I said the other night, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We are all slaves to this system, and this system is murder, and it is poison, and it is ugly. It is ugly beyond anything in, I'm trying to think of the word, the Victorian age of Queen Victoria's daughter marrying the Tsar. Oh, my God. Now she's Catherine of Russia. Oh. No. It's time to realize we're in a different century, in a different millennium, and this is the millennium of fight. And if we have to take our children and our families across the border into Canada to mount an army to come back and claim that which is our birthright, then it's time that we do that. But when they keep this cretin stuff up, this ugliness, this filth, and they pour it over the airwaves, well then, let's take them back. They're ours. Do they not belong to us? Do not the airwaves?
They are by definition, public airwaves. Hey, Bob, yeah. We've got to knock off and hit our break. It's time for our Cup of Joe report.
Hit the break. My wife, my darling Glenda, told me, hey, you took him over the break the other night. You got to let him go, Bob.
Take
All
care.
Right. You're free, my son. You're free.
All right.
Fight for it. Fight
Absolutely.
For it. Fight for it.
Never give up. Like I said, time for the Cup of Joe report. We'll be back. This is Head On. Phone number, 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. Emails bob@headonradio.com. Learn it, know it, use it. You know the drill. We're coming back.
Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. The word on the street is that there are now some conservatives who are speaking out and demanding explanations about the Bush administration's illegal wiretapping. Among those doing the complaining are right-wing sugar daddy Grover Norquist, whose goal is to make government small enough to drown it in the bathtub. And despite the rhetoric about preserving our freedom from an all-powerful government, what these people really want is to be free to rip us off and get away with it. They figured out a long time ago that it's easier to rob the bank if you own it, and that's just what they're doing. With all the reports of Republican corruption starting to surface, and believe me, we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg, the meme from the right is that it was Washington that corrupted them, which is, as always with them, a complete and utter lie. These people were corrupt long before they came to Washington, and however corrupt things were before they got here, they're certainly worse now. Trying to figure out what the endgame is for people like Norquist is enough to make you start pulling your hair out. Are the financial backers of the GOP looking to cut George W. Bush loose now that he's seemingly outlived his usefulness? Are all these announcements simply part of another strategy to make government in general look bad? Is it a combination of these, or is it something else entirely? You know what? It doesn't matter. Let's just kick the SOBs the hell out of our government and figure it all out later. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Tom DeLay, indicted for criminal money laundering. Pocketed tens of thousands in campaign contributions from indicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff. 48 trips to golf resorts. 100 flights aboard company jets. 200 nights at world-class resorts and hotels. $1 million from Russian tycoons to allegedly influence his vote. $1 million from Russian tycoons? What else will we uncover about Tom DeLay? It's time for DeLay to resign.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll, supposedly they say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Sun, with a Thompson gun for hire, fighting to be done. The deal was made in Denmark on a dark and stormy day, so he set out for Biafra to join the bloody fray. Through 66 and 7 they fought the Congo War with their fingers on their triggers, knee-deep in gore. Days and nights they battled the Bantu to their knees. They killed to earn their living and to help out the Congolese. Roland the Thompson Gunner, Roland the Thompson Gunner.
Thanks for sticking around. that's half of the show tonight. Like I said, amazing where the time goes. Let's have a quick backtrack. I mentioned Glenn Beck last night, having been hired by CNN along with, oh my God, Bingo Billy Bennett. You know, the guy that said America would be a better place if we aborted all the black babies. Yeah, that Billy Bennett. Headline News hired him and Glenn Beck. And just in case you didn't get quite enough last night with Glenn Beck talking about wanting to kill Michael Moore and calling 9/11 victims scumbags and calling the victims of Katrina scumbags, just in case you had some notion that maybe that was just his, you know, he was having a bad day or something. No, because as it turns out, recently, only 9 days ago, January 10th, he started in on Cindy Sheehan again.
I mean, at least Heidi Fleiss, this is saying something, at least Heidi Fleiss will admit to being a prostitute. You know what I mean? At least they'll say, hey, I'm doing it for cash. Cindy Sheehan, that's a pretty big prostitute there. You know what I mean? And I mean, more of a... Stu, what did we call her when she was in the news? Not a prostitute.
Yeah, we eventually...
She was a...
We eventually got to tragedy pimp, because we believe she was actually pimping the prostitute out.
Correct.
Which I think is the most accurate description.
Pretty hard to beat prostituting your son's death. Don't you think?
Okay, Agnes has that look on her face.
That bloody little git! How dare he say that? Prostituting her son's death when the president won't even stand and talk to the mothers who babies who died for this? Oh God! I'm not allowed to say it on the radio.
You'd have to use the dump button on yourself, dear.
Vlad the Impaler. That's all I've got to say. And I just, you know, I hope when they ram it up him, it's really hot.
Down in hell.
No.
Yes, down in hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, down in hell. Because we're not him. We are not Glenn Beck. We don't want to kill anybody.
Did I say anything about him dying from it?
You're not helping again, Agnes.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, like I said, just in case you had some notion, this is every day. Every day. And the suits at AOL Time Warner and the subsuit at CNN and the subsuit at CNN Headline News thinks America wants to hear this. You know, from time to time, I'll get a complaint from somebody on our side of the aisle saying, "Well, you know, Bob, you know, you're kind of mean. I mean, we need to like reach out to these people, you know, and like, you know, show them, you know, the power of like, you know, love, you know, and What kind of twisted, stilted, sick, perverted view of the nation do you have if you're Tom Jost? Was that his name at CNN? If you think that the American people want more of this. But, you know, hell, maybe the American people does. You know, Bob was talking about, you know, the we and the us and the...
Look, we're not the Yellow Pages. We don't need to reach out and touch somebody.
Well, what I'm
but
getting...
When they're bringing our soldiers
maybe,
home...
Look, honey, maybe the American people do want that.
No, they don't. Anyone who's had to bury a child knows. I don't care how they die. You definitely do not put up with bullcrap like that. Evidently, that man... Oh, no. I'm not going to say it, because I'll have to use the dump button.
Well, I don't know. You tell me. Is that what America wants? Look, America, I've never seen the show. I wouldn't know it from Adam's House Cats TV show. America really apparently likes it when that Simon character on American Idol is mean to other people. Are we a nation who have gotten to the point that we just get off on cruelty? If it is, then all of this makes so much sense, and I understand why I feel sort of isolated and, from humanity from time to time. Because I don't get off on that. I don't like it. I love to watch football. I love to watch Mountaineer football, Mountaineer basketball. But when you get down to it, almost all of our sport is institutionalized violence, isn't it? Hell, even golf. Didn't golf arise from my Scottish forebears' predilection for hitting things with clubs? I said something last week about, you know, when do we get to the Star Trek thing where, you know, all humankind lives in peace? People along the way have said that there is it is possible for us to live in peace, that it is possible to beat our swords into plowshares. But every time somebody comes along and says that, they kill him and they start turning around and beating plowshares into swords. Is this some sort of voyeuristic desire to participate in violence and hate that runs as some sort of psychotic undercurrent to the American psyche? I mean, if you're driving down the road and you hear Glenn Beck say, "Boy, I sure do want to choke that Michael Moore to death." Are there, am I to understand that the person driving down the highway in the car on the way to work goes, "Dang, that's funny. Choking Michael Moore. That's a real hoot. That Glenn Beck, he's a comedian." Is that what I'm supposed to understand? Now, but wait, you know, it's a Ginsu commercial. There's more. My state here, wild, wonderful West Virginia, the legislature has introduced, it's in session, they've introduced a bill that mirrors the bill that was the gubernatorial veto was overridden by the legislature last week or so, that imposes a mandate upon employers with 10,000 or more employees inside the state, one of whom is Walmart, and compels them to spend at least 8% on health care for their workers, or alternatively to pay into the state's Medicaid fund, because that's where a lot of Walmart workers get their health care. Walmart deliberately, I mean, they have little seminars for their workers. Here's how you sign up for welfare. Now, I'm just crazy enough and just liberal enough to believe that if a person gets up and goes to work every day of their, you know, most every day of their life, and gives time out of their finite life to someone else for someone else's betterment, that somehow or another the pay ought to be sufficient, that they not live within the definitions of poverty in the United States, and that they don't, that they don't have to rely on the welfare system to be able to go to the doctor. So we've introduced that that same principle here in West Virginia. It remains to be seen what will come of it. Of course, the Republican Party is out en masse against it. We've got this hateful little sleazebag named Vic Sprouse in the Senate who came out and said, "Well, the Walmart employees, if they wanted health care, they could have health care, because if they wanted a union, they could have a union, but they do not want a union, so they do not have a union." Now, this is a guy who literally walked out. Remember, he's a family values Republican. I don't expect folks listening outside of West Virginia to know about this creep. So, you know, little 411 for you. This guy walked out on his wife, his third wife, when she was 6 months pregnant. But he's opposed to abortion, and that means he's got family values, and he's saving America from them, all them queers are getting married and spoiling it for the rest of us. Yeah. Yeah, so they're out hot and heavy against this this legislation about giving decent, hardworking people what they deserve. And so when the gubernatorial veto came down, when the overturning of the gubernatorial veto came down last week, well, the usual suspects, you can count on them. Flush Flemball, the oxymoron, the junkie. Flush Flimball he told America just exactly what Maryland was doing to poor little Walmart.
I think this, we've talked about this at great length on this program, this is nothing else. It's nothing other than a government-sanctioned rape. This is a government-sanctioned rape of an American business. We just had hearings in an all-powerful Supreme Court. Are you going to take away a woman's right to choose? Are you going to do that? Are you going to do this? What the hell is going on in the state of Maryland? Probably the only such company in this size in the state. And there's a reason they went after companies with 10,000 or more employees. It was a way to snare Walmart, but not many others.
You got that? This is the Republican mindset on display in all its glory. Laura Bush goes to Africa and tells women who live in cultures that are utterly male-dominated to just say no. Abstinence will keep you from getting a sexually transmitted disease. You just say no. In cultures where the women can be killed for saying no. In Iran, we talked about this last week, a woman was sentenced to death because she accidentally killed one of her rapists. And real, live, honest-to-Jesus rape goes down day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute in this once great nation. Real rape. I forget the statutory definition of it. Real rape happens. But no, rape is a word that you save for describing what happens when Walmart's being attacked. When Walmart's corporate welfare is under attack in the state of Maryland, well, that's the real definition of rape in Republican world. No blood, no semen stains, no torn clothing, no humiliation of the rape kit being used in an emergency room. No trauma, no post-traumatic stress disorder, no unending fear, no sweats in the night, no nightmares. No, just Walmart being asked to put 8% into the health care and the well-being of its workers. And that's rape, according to the Republican Party. You see how they work.
But see, Bob, in the Republicans' minds, women, well, we have it coming. That's what we're here for. And that's it.
Well, and in Republican world, they use phrases like, well, you know, she probably wouldn't have been raped if she hadn't dressed that way. Or they say things like, you know, she had it coming. Or, well, you know, her mouth said no, but her body said yes. They do things like, well, can we apply that? I mean, that's how they think. Can we apply that to Walmart? What, did Walmart have it coming? In excess of 10%. In excess of 10% of the children who are on the Children's Welfare Health Program in the state of Georgia are the children of Walmart employees. Am I coming down on workers? Hell no, I'm not. I might even shop at Walmart if Walmart had a union. I might even shop at Walmart if I didn't feel like I was contributing to those workers' mistreatment every time I walked through the door.
What happens when somebody tries to start a union at Walmart?
They've got a fleet of jets in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Thanks, Chris. And they literally fire up those jets and they fly an entire jet load of corporate lawyers and suits and union-busting thugs to the site where the contemplated union exists. And they explain to people that if you sign that card, you are out of a job. And they have little meetings with the management staff, and they explain to the management staff that if a union comes in here, Buster, you're out of a job, and it will not be pretty. And they do that, you know, they do that with their suppliers. If If a clothing manufacturer, if there are any left in the United States, this is strictly hypothetical, if a clothing manufacturer is unionized, Walmart will go to the clothing manufacturer and tell them, you must bust this union or we will not sell your goods in our stores. I mean, this is antitrust stuff through the roof. This is monopoly stuff. This is the kind of stuff that made Teddy Roosevelt vomit. But not in Bushmerica. In Bushmerica, it's the way to go. In Bushmerica, asking a corporate giant to quit sucking off the welfare teat, as Walmart does. Well, you heard it. It's rape. It's rape. I don't know if any victims of real rape are within the sound of my voice this evening. But I'm sure that any one of those could tell you that no, making Walmart write a damn check is not the same thing as forced, unconsensual sexual intercourse by violence and by threat. They're not the same things. Not by a long, long shot. So, just file this stuff away. Just remember, when people, if your neighbor says, well, yeah, I gotta go to Walmart, gotta get me a case of oil and a filter, it's time to change the oil. Tell them a little bit about Walmart. Maybe change, the phrase of the day in Washington, D.C. is, culture of corruption. And our party has apparently just discovered it in the last year or so. I'm proud of them that they did. But that culture of corruption happens outside the Beltway, too. It happens in every one of those blue-fronted stores with that big demonic yellow smiley face hanging on it. There is your culture of corruption, because what is corruption if not... the very selling out of American jobs. How many jobs have gone to China, Laos, Burma, Vietnam, Guatemala, Honduras, Ecuador, Kuala Lumpur? How many jobs have gone to those places that used to be jobs in America for working families because Walmart said, you gotta make it cheaper? You gotta make it cheaper. Thousands. Millions? Probably millions. But we can't be talking about anything like universal health care. There's a move afoot inside the legislature here in West Virginia that might wind up with universal health care for all West Virginians by 2010. I'm here to tell you, it's dead on arrival. Now, never mind in a state like West Virginia or any other largely rural state that wants to build an industrial base. Universal health care is the smartest thing that any government could do, because it creates an incentive for business to come there. But this little bill came trundling into the legislature, and immediately fiscal conservatives started saying, well, who is going to pay for it? How in heaven's name? I'll tell you who can pay for it. I'll tell you right now who can pay for it. Big coal can pay for it. And that's the kind of thing that makes coal barons like, the International Coal Group and their business partner, Massey, that makes them sweat. Because, again, it's just like Walmart asking them to take a little less in the way of profit. And do a little more in the way of being a real citizen and carrying the same burden and the same load that citizens carry all over this and many other states. Coal can pay for universal health care in West Virginia. By God, coal causes a whole raft of the health care problems we have in this state. And they can damned well pay for it. Now, see, what they usually do if you say something like this, the coal industry goes, well, Jesus, we'll just pack up our bags and leave. I mean, we can't do business. We'll go away. Go. Stand not upon the order of your going, but go at once. Because here's the fun part. You can't take the coal with you.
Huh?
Somebody will want to get it. And somebody will want it badly enough that they will be willing to pay a fair rate of tax for the right to extract that finite resource. Go. See ya, Don. We're going to put you out of business. It's going to put you out of business if we raise taxes on you again. Damn, that's breaking my heart. But if you feel like you got to go, go. Because when you stand here and you cry, you're just embarrassing yourself. Go on now. No, no, you can't have the coal. We keep the coal. See how it works? All you got to do, and it goes back to the earlier conversation. If you will just stand up to a damn bully and punch him in the face once, they will cry and they will scream and they will generally run away. But we're afraid to stand up to bullies in this state because the bullies have owned us for 100 years. The bullies have owned this state since this state came into existence. So, you know, I mean, that's at least my take on it. Yours, you're welcome to. The phone number is 877-443-2366. 877-4-HEAD-ON. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I guess if you say so, I'll have to pack my things and go.
That's right, hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
Now, baby, listen, baby, don't you treat me this away, cause I'll be back on my feet someday.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff.
Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating, just very devastating, and the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Bye.
down to western Kentucky, where my parents were born. And there's a backwards old town that's often remembered so many times that my memories are worn. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River, where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. Well, sometimes we travel right down the Green River to the abandoned old prison down by Avery Hill, where the air smelled like snakes and we'd shoot with our pistols, but empty pop bottles was all we would kill. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River, where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. And the coal company came with the world's largest shovel, and they tortured the timber and stripped all the land. Well, they dug for their coal till the land was forsaken, then they rode it all down as the progress of man. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River, where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. When I die, let my ashes float down the Green River. Let my soul roll on up to the Rochester Dam. I'll be halfway to heaven with paradise wings, just 5 miles away from wherever I am. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River, where paradise lay.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, welcome back. Oh, mercy. 6 different ways from Sunday to go. But one thing I want, you know, we talk about the almost pathological unwillingness of Democrats to fight from time to time. And when we catch one fighting, by golly, it's good to give them a little pat on the back, isn't it? And in this particular case, Paul Hackett. Remember Paul Hackett ran against Gene Schmidt? Do we still... we don't have to play Gene Schmidt. Yeah, the woman who called John Murtha a coward. And only managed to lose that election when polling places were closed precipitously. Well, Ohio's... from an Associated Press story. Yes, dear?
A few minutes ago, received a call from Colonel Danny Bupp, Ohio representative from the 88th District in the House of Representatives. He asked me to send Congress a message, stay the course. He also asked me to send Congressman Murtha a message that cowards cut and run, Marines never do. Danny and the rest of America and the world want the assurance from this body.
The House will see this through. The House will be in order. 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 The gentlelady will suspend and
sit down, you socialist.
Randy Duke Cunningham. Two peas in a pod. Gene Schmidt, Randy Duke Cunningham. They're all just sleazy and awful, aren't they? No, Ohio's Republican leader is demanding an apology. You know, do they have seminars on demanding apologies from Democrats when Democrats stand up and act like, you know, they've, you know, got a little bit of guts? You know, the Republican, yeah, we demand an apology from Senator Hillary Clinton. She said we run the House of Representatives like a plantation. How dare she? How dare she, quote Newt Gingrich, Vern, V-E-R-N, oh, Vern. No, Ohio's Republican leader is demanding an apology from Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Paul Hackett. He wants Hackett to apologize for calling some conservative Republicans religious fanatics and comparing them to terrorist mastermind and recent tape deliverer Osama bin Laden. Hackett, on the other hand, said, "I said it. I meant it. I stand behind it." Now, what we're discussing here is a Sunday column in the Columbus Dispatch where Hackett wrote, quote, "The Republican Party has been hijacked by the religious fanatics that, in my opinion, aren't a whole lot different from Osama bin Laden and a lot of the other religious nuts around the world." Hey! Hey, Mr. Hackett! Nice to know you're listening, buddy! Well, I've said that all along. What is it, Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is, the fundamental, you know, Osama bin Laden could sit down and have tea and a fine old time with the likes of Pat Robertson. You know, they're the same brand of hateful, vitriolic, oh, let's see, where are my Pat Robertson quotes? It wouldn't be any fun without a Pat Robertson quote. Here's one. The fact of the matter is, no, that's not it. Come on, Pat, where are you, buddy? Oh, yeah. Pat Robertson, 700 Club, January 18th, 1995. "Homosexuals want to come into churches and disrupt church services and throw blood all around and try to give people AIDS and spit in the face of ministers." Praise Jesus. And so, you know, with things like that banging around out there, Paul Hackett says that the Republican Party's been hijacked by the religious fanatics that, in my opinion, aren't a whole lot different than Osama bin Laden and a lot of the other religious nuts around the world. Good on you. Good for you, Paul Hackett. Now, he's running in the Ohio primary against Sherrod Brown. But this is pretty impressive stuff. Hackett also said the practice of denying homosexuals equal rights is un-American. The newspaper asked Hackett if that meant the 62% of Ohioans who voted to ban gay marriage were un-American. If what they believe is that we're going to have a scale on judging which Americans have equal rights, yeah, that's un-American. And Ohio Republican Party Chairman Bob Bennett said Hackett should apologize, saying his comments applied to any people of faith, and therefore most Ohioans. "These intolerant views have no place in the public debate, and I hope his fellow Democrats reject this divisive hate speech." You know, it's funny. Isn't it the Republican Party that if you start talking about hate speech, "We don't need no hate legislation. Let them just be prosecuted for the crime itself. If you prosecute somebody for a hate speech, well, you'll be prosecuting somebody for what's going on inside their brain. We don't need no thought police." Isn't that the usual Republican tack? Isn't that the, yeah, that's them. You know, tune in the Savage Wiener, tune in Lintball, Flimball, whatever, tune in the Falafel Boy. Or that cretin with the perfect hair that beats up poor little Alan Combs every night. I feel so bad for Alan Combs. That's the way they believe. And, you know, if somebody like Paul Hackett stands up and gives them the good rat-slapping they richly deserve... "You better apologize.
You called us religious fanatics. Praise Jesus, we are, but you're not allowed to say it. We're pimping out our churches left and right for the Republican committee, but you're not allowed to talk about it. It's not nice. Jesus, help him. Please, put your hands upon Paul Hackett. Fill him with a spirit of contrition and repentance and make him apologize for telling the truth about Republicans. Oh, Jesus, please.
What have I told you? What a bunch of sickening damn crybabies Republicans are. All you gotta do is bloody their nose once, and they start bawling like this Bennett creep in Ohio. That's all it takes. And what we're gonna take right now is a break. I've just gotta get myself together. I can't believe Paul Hackett. I can't believe he would be that cruel to people who just love Jesus and fascist government. I can't believe it. I'm Bob.
Brother bought a coconut, he bought it for the dime. His sister had another one, she paid it for the lime. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she called the doctor, woke him up and said, Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, Doctor, do we leave his belly ache? I said, Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, get this straight. Put the lime in the coconut, you drank and pour up. Put the lime in the coconut, you drank and pour up. Put the lime in the coconut, you drank and pour up. Put the lime in the coconut, you called the doctor, woke him up.
On last week's Fourth Estate Radio, Bruce had this to say.
Latham is a member. Latham is a member of the Southern Baptist Convention's executive committee. Okay, he was arrested and charged with offering to engage in an act of lewdness.
What?
Based on that one charge, I'm thinking he didn't offer to hire a prostitute. It sounded like to me that he was just like coming on to the guy.
Well,
maybe saying to him that he would give him a free something or another.
Well, I want to know if George Michael was in there for the meeting. Join us 10 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday night for Fourth Estate Radio. Get the details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Tom DeLay, indicted for criminal money laundering. Pocketed tens of thousands in campaign contributions from indicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff. 48 trips to golf resorts. 100 flights aboard company jets. 200 nights at world-class resorts and hotels. $1 million from Russian tycoons to allegedly influence his vote. $1 million from Russian tycoons? What else will we uncover about Tom DeLay? It's time for DeLay to resign.
The Democratic Party keeps moving closer and closer to where the Republican Party is in order to try to win elections. And I've watched how Democrats have consistently become more and more disgusted with the National Party because of the fact that they keep doing this. To no surprise, what did I find when I opened up the Washington Post? Senator Clinton crafts vague stance on war with eye to 2008. Senator Clinton, get a clue and, get a backbone, for God's sake. Stand up and stand for something. I guess that's what really gets to me worse than anything, anything else, is that when I vote for a leader, I want that leader to say to me, this is not a popular stand, and I understand this. This stand that I'm taking is going to polarize a lot of people, but you know what? I believe in what I'm doing, and I will do what I can to carry it through regardless of my political future. This is Bruce Birch. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Things Reconsidered this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For connection information, visit allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Freaking fails. I start hammering these bastard Republicans. Sorry, syphilitic sons, seventh sons of sea cooks that they are. And somebody starts wanting to lecture me about how we need to bring on the centrists and this isn't how we do it. This ain't that show. This is a program for people who want to fight back. This is a program for people who want to channel the ferocity that it takes to save a constitution when it is under attack. Then I may have referenced it last night, perhaps. I think I did. That Bible verse. I can't remember if it was Paul or Jesus that said, some of you are hot and some of you are cold, but at least you're hot or you're cold. You're not lukewarm. If you're lukewarm, I want to spit you out of my mouth. And I say amen to that. If these so-called centrists don't have the common sense that God gave a stumped gosling to know that they're being ripped off by a bunch of corrupt crony corporatists, then they don't have enough sense to vote for a Democratic candidate. Now, I, for one, believe that Paul Hackett said the right thing. We need to say it louder and more frequently because, you know what? Here's another one. From the Agape Press. The Agape Press. Praise Jesus. They're a public relations website for Christians. And we all understand when I'm talking about these people, I'm talking about the religion industry. I'm not talking about the people who believe in the teachings, crazy stuff like quit being mean to each other that Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter, taught. A new report finds that 13 out of 16 institutions in the University of North Carolina system have at least one policy that clearly and substantially restricts free speech. The report released by the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education and the Pope Center for Higher Education accuses UNC of being especially hostile to Christian students and their religious liberty. You know, see, these dead from the neck up jackanapes want to go into biology classrooms and start talking about how the dinosaurs were put in the fossil record to confuse the unbelievers. You know, they want to go into the zoology classrooms at the University of North Carolina and talk about how there aren't really any unicorns because the darn things were just too stubborn to get on the freaking ark. God almighty, they are dumber than a bag of hammers. I mean, now, if this is from the report. A ban on insults or taunts or challenges directed toward another person at Appalachian State University, that means that good Christians can't holler out, "Hey, you dirty queer!" Goodness me, what would Jesus think? A practice of outlawing statements of intolerance at North Carolina Central University, which they say mirrors a speech code in Pennsylvania that was deemed unconstitutional. What's that? Outlawing statements of intolerance? Does that mean I can't look at you and say, "Muslim, don't you know you're going to hell for worshiping that Mohammed feller?" There's a requirement that all students respect the dignity of all persons and strive for the openness to learn from differences in people, lest they be punished. See, they threw in the lest part because it sounds real King James Version-y. We need Paul Hacketts out there. We need Paul Hacketts, people who are willing to say that the Republican Party has been hijacked by the religious fanatics that, in my opinion, aren't a whole lot different than Osama bin Laden and a lot of the other religious nuts around the world. Because the religious nuts, they're not just around the world, Brother Paul. They're living right around us. I mean, we got a Baptist church right down the road here that had a full-blown schism because they couldn't decide whether to tell to hate the queers now or wait until later when the whole Baptist group got together to hate them. They literally broke down the middle and went and formed their own church because one side of them, we're going to hate them now, praise Jesus. There's only one word for that, bigotry. And you know what? I mean, we had Martin Luther King Day on Monday. And we talked, you know, and everybody, well, you know, peace and tolerance, and, you know, we got to remember his message. And, well, you know, we proved what the message was. It's not that he's some sort of black Santa Claus who wants everybody to get along. Peaceful nonviolence, nonviolent direct action, yeah, it works. But you know what? You don't invite Lester Maddox to walk across the Edmund Pettus Bridge with you. There is no common ground. You know, and you know what? A lot of these people, these so-called centrists, they don't freaking exist. They don't exist. This is an absolutely polarized nation. There is us and there are them, and they want to see the end of us. I don't, you know, I'm not that way. These little weirdos can go off and give all, they can give their whole blessed paycheck every week to some megachurch for all I care. It's none of my daggum business. But they're running around and they think they're being persecuted because they can't be mean to people over what goes on when the lights go out. A policy outlawing disrespect for persons at UNC Greensboro. And Fire describes that as Orwellian. No, you daggum doofuses. Orwellian is when the national security apparatus is listening into your phone calls every daggum day. That's Orwellian. Not being able to use racial epithets and sexual epithets is just good manners. Mind your own business, you religious weirdos. Oh, it goes on. The UNC system, praise Jesus, is merely one among many in the U.S. whole glory that are guilty of restricting students' free speech. Hallelujah. North Carolina exemplifies so much that is wrong with American higher education today. The University of North Carolina is one of the finest state-supported institutions of higher learning in the nation. UNC, University of Virginia, University of Michigan. And they don't, you know, God, do you remember when the little religious freaks had a bedwitten hissy fit a couple of years ago because incoming freshmen were asked to read a book about Islam? And who was it? Well, yeah, it was the religion industry. Why? Because they're terrified. They know that their doctrine is bug spray. They know that their doctrine and their dogma is garbage, and they are scared to death that if some kid reads a little bit about Islam, that suddenly all that good upbringing in the basement of the Southern Baptist Church is going to just gone. Next thing you know, he's going to be hollering jihad and reading stuff from right to left instead of left to right like Jesus intended. Oh, God Almighty. Let's take a break. I want you to see when we come back. I've got the bigotry that's contained in things like that is published by the Agape Press. Their hateful bigotry. I've got a concrete example of what flows from that. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Back. So we got 20 minutes or so left in tonight's program. Kind of like internets. You know how Dear Leader says internets. I promised you a hard, cold, cruel example of the bigotry of the right. And it looks like we're going back to Oklahoma again. I often wonder how, you know, last week it was Brother Lonnie Lay them who was caught soliciting an undercover cop who was pretending to be a gay male prostitute. And, you know, the Oklahoma passed a defense of marriage thing. Well, this is from the Indianapolis Star, Columbia News Service, but it's an Oklahoma story. It's an Oklahoma story about a man named Sam Beaumont and another fellow by the name of Meadows. And, you know, the opening paragraph. On the face of it, Sam Beaumont, 61, with his cowboy hat, deep-throated chuckle, and northwestern drawl, is not so different from the ranch hands in Ang Lee's critically acclaimed film Brokeback Mountain, which opened in Indianapolis on Wednesday. Listen, the character Twist says to Del Mar as part of a dream that goes unrealized. I'm thinking, tell you what, if you and me had a little ranch together, a little cow and calf operation, your horses, it'd be some sweet life. It's a quote from the movie. Well, back in 1977, Sam Beaumont was divorced. He was raising three sons after a dozen years in the Air Force when Earl Meadows walked up to him near the Arkansas River. It was a pretty day, January 15th, 65 degrees, Beaumont said. He came up. We got talking till 2 in the morning. I don't even remember what we said, but I knew it was something special. Beaumont moved to be with Meadows in his partner's hometown of Bristow, Oklahoma, a place of 4,300 people. Together, they bought a ranch and raised Beaumont's three sons. The mortgage and most of the couple's possessions were put into Meadows' name. Meadows worked by day at Black & Decker as a comptroller. Beaumont ran the ranch. As far as I was concerned, I had two dads, said one of Beaumont's sons, now 33. He was 2 years old when Meadows joined the family. In 1999, Meadows had a stroke, and Beaumont took care of him for a year until he died at age 56. Meadows' will left everything to Beaumont, but a cousin of the deceased came in and challenged the will, and it was declared null and void, invalid, by the Oklahoma Court of Appeals in 2003 because it was short one witness signature. Beaumont has lost everything he owns because Oklahoma doesn't recognize, you know, those people's commitments to each other. A judge said that the rancher had to put the property, which was appraised at $100,000, on the market. The animals were sold, and Beaumont was thrown out of his home. Because Meadows had no biological children or surviving parents, his estate was divided up among his heirs under intestate succession in the state of Oklahoma. And there are dozens, dozens of Meadows' cousins. Everything that had Earl's name on it, they took. They took it all and didn't bat an eye, Beaumont said. Every state, this article notes, has common law marriage rules that protect heterosexual couples. If someone dies without a will or with a faulty one, his or her live-in partner is treated as the rightful inheritor. Last year, Beaumont moved to nearby Wewoka, Oklahoma, to a one-bedroom place with 350 acres for his horses, White Pyrenees, and Great Dane to roam. He said he was continuing to fight the cousins who are suing, get this, for back rent for the years he lived on the ranch. Now, when you hear the Agape Press complain that students aren't allowed to be intolerant, understand the religion industry in this country likes the outcome of this case. Well, it all happened because they are living against God's law. Hell, praise Jesus. Tell me that that is not pure, unmitigated bigotry. Tell me that there's any difference in that and telling a woman where she has to sit at the back of the bus. You see? But, you know, as the Republican, Bennett, said that Paul Hackett should apologize because his comments applied to any people of faith, and therefore most Ohioans. You know what? If the definition of a person of faith is that they would gladly and blithely stand by while a man's entire life is ripped away from him because of nothing but pure, unmitigated, hateful, hell-bound bigotry, then I will tell you that is no person of faith.
Well, I have a right to believe that way.
Yes, they do, but they do not have the right to impose that belief on the rest of us in a republic based upon democratic principles in which a constitution is the supreme law of the land, and in that constitution it says that we are all equally free. No, I'm not. No. Anybody who considers themselves a centrist and can't see that that is evil stalking the land is a liar, a hypocrite, and a fraud. Let's go to the phones. Peter's with us. Hey, Peter, you're head on.
Hey, Bob. Good to hear your program tonight. Great show.
Thank you.
What you were just talking about, it made me call. There was something I heard in the news today about these so-called equal benefits for gay folk that have been together for many, many years. And I'm sorry I've forgotten the state. But in any case, one of the states, the state government extends benefits to the partners of gay couples. And of course, the federal laws say that you can't. That's not tax deductible. That's considered income because the federal government, of course, doesn't acknowledge all that. But in any case, they discovered that for the last 5 years, the state government has neglected to list that as earned income, or in other words, taxable income, and so all of these people, these families, are being hit with 5 years worth of back taxes all of a sudden. And the stuff happens every day. It's very unfair. And
let's go ahead and take the next step, Peter. It's evil. It is evil.
That too. And you know what? I went to the library and I checked out Brokeback Mountain today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I haven't seen the movie. I wanted to read the book first, but it's interesting. The book is only 50 pages long. It's a short story.
Oh, wow.
It's written by a lady named Annie Prolix, and she is a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. And the librarian, when I checked it out, she said that she had just seen the movie, and she said many of the lines in the movie were taken directly from the book. So she felt like it was, she just loved it. She said she was just in tears so badly that she had to wait till everybody left the theater to compose herself. Anyway, I can't wait to see it, but I did want to read the book first. So it's only a 50-pager. I'm sure I'll be finished with it by tomorrow's time. But it's interesting this by a woman and a Pulitzer Prize winner. I don't think anybody could have pulled it off but Ag Lee.
No. But the thing is, there's a, I mean, I've talked in the past on this show, Peter, about the, for some reason or another, I got on somebody's right-wing public relations list.
Okay.
So I get offers to interview all these freaks.
Good.
Let's see. Lately, they want me to have Dr. Ted Baer on to discuss Golden Globes Go Gay All the Way.
Yeah, I was hearing today that there's plenty of people. I haven't actually read any articles, but there's supposed to be lots of upset people about that.
Oh, they're all burned up. You know, like I said, George Clooney, of course, got the right wing's knickers in a twist by talking about Jack Abramoff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And of course there was Brokeback Mountain for Best Picture. Philip Seymour Hoffman won Best Actor for Capote. Felicity Huffman won Best Actress for Transamerica.
Oh yeah, yeah. You've been seeing that a lot of the movies along those lines are garnering awards. It's really quite remarkable.
Well, let's see. Concerned Women of America. We're familiar with them, aren't we, Peter?
Oh well, God, yes. Those are the big hair women, aren't they?
Yeah, they're so concerned that they have to be run by a man. Once again, the media elites are proving that their pet projects are more important than profit. You know, these are Christian women, and they're advising Hollywood about making a buck.
Oh, yes. The homosexual agenda. Long may it wave.
Oh, God.
Well, you know, they just don't realize the homosexual agenda is to get up and eat burnt toast and go to work, for crying out loud.
You know, somebody sent me a list of the agenda, and I laughed so hard when I saw that. It was like, you know, from 2 to 2:30, there were all these, you know, meetings and, you know, convert little innocent children.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, I can just see it.
Oh, God. But, you know, we can laugh the same way you'd laugh at a hateful bigot, you know, who was bigoted against African Americans. But I hate to get pulled into the same kind of same kind of garbage that they did. But I despise them, Peter. I do.
Well, I do too. They're definitely about as bright as a small appliance light bulb, and it's just hard to fathom. That's hard to fathom. You know, and you know they all have gay uncles and aunts. Everybody does. Doesn't every freaking body have a gay uncle?
Well, you know, he's a
everybody.
He's a confirmed bachelor.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. but you know, when you're running around and you're making laws that literally throw people out on the street after they spend 30 years together.
Yeah, that was a.
You know, you're doing evil. You're just doing evil.
And I hadn't read that story. That was very.
I read it last night, and it just twisted my guts, Peter. It really did, because it did. Reading that reminded me of the first time I heard about the gentleman who got dragged behind the truck down in Texas.
That was I'll never forget that.
It comes from the same dark and disgusting place in the human psyche.
Well, it does, and you can be quite sure that none of those cousins were there helping while the man was ill.
Oh no. No.
None of those cousins were there helping when they needed.
No, they were back at the buzzard's roost, and they only flapped on over and flew in a circle once it looked like he was going to shuffle off this mortal coil.
Mm-hmm. And planning it for years, no doubt, how they were going to do this.
Yeah, because, well, you know, uncle is rich.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, that's the way it goes. And, you know, it happens every day, Bob. It happens over and over again. And one day it'll end, though, but I've got to tell you, you know, as a gay man, I'm perfectly willing to put that on the back burner, because you know we've got bigger problems. We've got a bastard in the White House.
Well, we do, but I don't know that we can back burner it, Peter, because it's human rights. Okay, this is the same, and again, the same mindset that will allow this to happen to this couple in Oklahoma is the same mindset that said it was okay to turn high pressure fire hoses on African Americans in Birmingham, and it's the same mindset that says, well, as long as they're Muslim and they look a little funny and their skin's a little darker than ours, well, we can torture the hell out of them.
Well, it is part of the same disease.
It comes from the same place, and it's not necessarily a matter of stopping. It's not a matter of stopping the one particular act. It's a matter of stopping the people who are perpetrating them.
Well, this is true. We're all part of the body, and it affects us as individuals in different ways, but hell, it affects us all.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that is disturbing about the progressive movement. We tend to be so factionalized. There, women's rights and abortion rights and black rights and gay rights, and really we're all talking about the same thing. We don't need to be pulling in different directions.
Yeah, until people understand that these are all human rights. I don't have a uterus, but the fact of the matter is that doesn't prevent me from standing up and fighting for the basic human rights of half of the population who does.
Well, you're an exception, Bob, and God love you, man. I tell you, it's so wonderful to be a part of your audience. It's a great honor.
Well, no, trust me, the honor is mine. But I mean, that's just and I think that falls in with some of what Bob from North Dakota was saying earlier this evening. It's all us. You know, these artificial designations, you know, that, you know, somehow some people are more human than others. You know, that comes straight out of George Orwell's Animal Farm. You know, all pigs are equal, but some pigs are more equal than other pigs.
Oh, well, you know, that is so true. And he did make some awfully good points about being more equal than others. And it's straight out of Orwell. Again, even if you don't feel like reading the book, they made a movie of that, which is really very disturbing.
Yeah, it is.
Animals had almost human faces. It was a disturbing movie.
It's a disturbing book because it doesn't take long to realize that you're not in a barnyard.
It doesn't take long, and it fact for fact, incident for incident. It was disturbing to watch. Yes, it was.
Well, Peter, I tell you what, I surely thank you for your call. It's always so good to talk to you, and I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
Yes, sir. Right. I will be back. There's no place to hide.
You take care.
See you soon.
Bye now.
Bye.
I don't know why that's so hard to comprehend. But as long as we remain divided, and trust me, it is part of the strategy. As long as we remain divided, we're not going to beat fascism. What Sinclair Lewis say? If fascism comes to America, it will come wrapped in a flag and carrying a cross. You know, I got the very cross itself. I got to thinking about the other day. Can you imagine if Jesus did come back and he sees all these people wearing the very thing that they used to torture him to death? What would he think of us? He would think that we were on the Roman side and we thought crosses were cool. Look at one. You know, now, this is a West Virginia phenomenon, but about every 5 miles down the interstate, there are these things called coffin daffer crosses, and they were put up by a multimillionaire who wanted to just put three crosses all over America. Can you imagine Jesus, Yeshua, seeing that? He would. I better get out of here. They haven't gotten any better. They're still doing the same thing they did to me last time. I think it was the comedian Dick Gregory, an activist, who once said that if Jesus had been electrocuted, we'd all be walking around with electric chairs around our neck. And it's true. It's not these people, you know, the people behind Agape Press and Focus on the Family. These people who want to pervert the Constitution, who want to pervert our system of government so that they can create heaven on earth and make sure Jesus hurries on back in his golden El Dorado and they get to hurry up and have themselves a big battle and then put all the Jews who won't believe in Jesus to the sword. That's, God, it makes my head hurt just to think about it.
Well, have you ever noticed, Bob, that the Christians, the true people, or the true Christians that get the idea of what you're saying, they understand. They believe that people should be treated like people. Jesus didn't choose. But the ones who are fundamentalists at heart, who have their own agendas, seem to be the ones that holler the loudest. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a good person, but that's okay.
I burn them
at the stake.
Yeah, and the thing that they holler the loudest, dear, is, we're being persecuted.
They're the ones who want to run your life and tell you how you should live it. Of course, now, if you look at their life and say, well, you know, you go to the bars on Friday night and you hang out with the boys and you're messing with the lady down so-and-so where... Oh, well, that's fine. That's their life, and you need
Jesus
to stay out of it.
Jesus forgives me.
You can't sin all week and then go pray on your knees on Sunday and get forgiveness.
No, it's about the life. It's always about the life. But understand, when Paul Hackett says that these people are religious fanatics and that they want to impose their will on us, it sounds to me that maybe he's beginning to get it. And more people are beginning to get it. Again, I don't want to be mean to these people. I don't want to be mean to anybody. Because I'm a liberal. I'm a progressive. I get awfully, awfully angry and awfully, awfully upset. But I don't want to hurt anybody. No, that's Glenn Beck's job. Glenn Beck's job is to run around talking about who he wants to strangle next. Phil Graham's job is to talk about hunting Democrats with dogs. I forget who the member of the House of Representatives was some several years back, 1995 maybe, that said of Bill Clinton, hell, impeach him, censure him, assassinate him. A Republican member of the House of Representatives said that. Were charges brought? Hell no. You know, so, what we're doing on this side isn't anything approaching what's going on the right. Because here we deal in facts. We are fact-based. We are part of the reality-based community. They're not. They talk in dreams. They talk about eventually believing that democracy will take hold in the greater Middle East. There's no knowledge in that. It's nothing but fantasy. And it's the kind of fantasy that will get people killed. But that's just me. So that's it for tonight. Thank you to all of you for spending the part of the finite time of your very existence with us. It's an honor to share our time with you. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor. Our studio configuration was engineered by Randy Kerbway. And Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains our stream by which you listen and also maintains the archives of this and many other wonderful, wonderful liberal talk programs. Remember, Ben, he operates on donations only. We also thank the folks at RadioPower.org for carrying the show in delay from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time every day at RadioPower.org. We appreciate it. The show is brought to you every single night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. If you're, well, just remember, they're building the American dream. And always, always, always. RMR, it's all for you.